It's in the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah. There we are. I can hear it now. My name is Bryson, and really, it don't matter if you remember my name or not. I just love Jesus, and I want to do my best to exalt Him and exalt Jesus. And if you don't remember my name, that's okay, as long as you remember Jesus. He's enough. He's sufficient. It's at the name of Jesus that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. It's at the name of Jesus. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that's in the name of Jesus. And I love Jesus. And I serve as the director of missions and the minister of education at Heritage Baptist Church in Calhoun, Georgia. And I was telling some people whenever I came in, this is my first time in Arkansas. And first time seeing the Mississippi River a second ago, so it's a big deal for me. I like being here. It's an honor to be here. And, you know, me and you, we may not know each other's names. We may not have a lot in common. I'm part of Heritage Baptist Church. You're a part of this church. But we've got one thing in common. If you're saved and bought by the blood of Jesus, you've got the Holy Spirit living inside of you, and I've got Him living inside of me, and we can be unified in that. We can be unified in the Word of God, and I'm thankful for that. That means that me and you are brothers and sisters in Christ, so we're family. So, nice to meet you, family. we're family, and I'm thankful for that. But I just want to look at the Word of God. And I appreciate the love that you guys have for the Word of God. I walked in the door, I received a gospel tract, and my brother was telling me that he don't care about opinions, he just cares about the Word of God, and I said, well, me and you's going to get along pretty well then. And so let's get into the Word of God, because it don't matter what I have to say, it matters what God has to say. So Jonah chapter number 1, and I'm going to start reading in verse number 1. If you don't mind, let's stand in reverence to God's Word as you read it, if you're able to. Jonah chapter number 1 and verse number 1. And the Bible says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. And then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God," that's his little g, God, "and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said, every one to his fellow, Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What's thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I'm an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. And then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. And then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought, and it was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, cast me forth into the sea, and so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. And nevertheless the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they cannot. For the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. And wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. And so they took up Jonah, cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you. Thank you for your love, for your mercy, God. I just thank you for the traveling mercy to get here and the group of believers that are here. Lord, thank you for the songs that we was able to sing. I pray that it honored and glorified you. And Lord, now as we come to the time of preaching, I realize that I'm not worthy to open up your word and give it. God, you've given me a message that's too big for me. So Lord, I just pray that you would remove me out of the way. And I pray that you would preach. And God, I pray that you would search every heart in here, including mine. See if there be any wicked way, if there's some sin that we need to repent of. I pray that you would reveal it and we would repent of it right now so that we can be as close to you as possible. God, if there's one here that's lost and doesn't know you as Savior and they've never been saved, Lord, I pray that they would be saved today. Would the Holy Spirit just begin drawing them and let them know their need of a Savior, God? I don't want anybody to leave here lost and on their way to hell. Lord, I pray that you would help us to preach with the burden. Help us to preach your word. God, don't let me add to or take away from it. But God, speak to our hearts. Lord, we're going to give you all the praise and all the glory for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for standing. You can be seated. I love the book of Jonah. Have any of you heard of Jonah before? Most of you have, more than likely. But I come from a place where not everybody that comes into church has been to church before. And so not everybody knows the story of Jonah, and we kind of take that for granted sometime. But I hope that I hope you're not so familiar with it that you don't listen to the sermon. I pray that God will be able to reveal something to us. And chances are, I'm not going to tell you anything new that you don't already know. But I do pray that the Holy Spirit helps us and that He speaks to our hearts and that we don't leave the same way that we came in. I don't know about you, but I'm just tired of church as usual. Where you come in and you go through the motions and you just kind of, you sing the songs, you know the order of service, you know what's going to happen, and then you walk out and leave the same way that you came in. But I believe that the Holy Spirit is so strong and so powerful and so real that whenever He moves in our midst, that He changes us for His glory. That He changes us to look more like Him. And that's all that I want to do is look more like Him every single day. Because I'm not perfect, and I dare to say that you're not perfect either. And so I'm glad to say that He's still working on me, and He's still working on you. And so I pray that the Word of God would just, the Bible says that His Word does not return void, but it accomplishes His purpose where He sent it. And I'm glad that He sent it to us this morning. Now, chapter 1, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah." That phrase, "the word of the Lord came," is mentioned 92 different times in your Bible. The Bible says that the word of the Lord came to Abraham. It came to the prophet Nathan. The word of the Lord came to Solomon, came to Elijah, came to Jeremiah, came to Isaiah, and here we read that it came to Jonah. And all throughout generations, the word of the Lord had came and God was speaking. And then God revealed His word through the scripture. The Bible says the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. 1 Peter tells us that. And so the word of the Lord now comes to us through His written word, the 66 books of the Bible. And so I'm thankful that the word of the Lord has came to Arkansas. I wasn't sure if it had got here yet because I haven't been here yet, but it did. It came here to Arkansas. And I'm thankful that the word of the Lord comes to us today. The first word, it says now. I'm thankful that this Bible was written thousands of years ago, but it's still relevant for right now, isn't it? Still changing hearts right now. It's still real right now. Still offers salvation right now. And now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. But can I say the word of the Lord has came to us this morning. And there's two things that I want to point out when the word of the Lord comes to you. Number one, there is a responsibility when the word of the Lord comes. And number two, there is always a response when the word of the Lord comes. Now look at the responsibility that Jonah had here. In verse number two, the Bible says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Now, we always kick Jonah down the road, don't we? Whenever they say, "Jonah, God called you to go to Nineveh, cry against it." And then what did he do? He ran from it. But to kind of make it in our context, the weight of this calling, that would be like Memphis is close to here, right? Memphis, Tennessee. It's not too far from here. That would be like God saying, "I want you to go and just start walking down the streets of Memphis and telling everybody that they're sinners, and if they don't repent, they're going to die and go to hell." Now, what kind of calling would that be? I'd probably run from it too, wouldn't you? And God just calls you to go and walk down the streets and cry against it because their wickedness has come up before Him. That's the place that Jonah was in right here. Go to Nineveh and cry against it. But whenever God's word had came to him, God gave him that responsibility. He said, "I've given you my word. Now you take my word to these people and give them my word." And so the Bible tells us as believers, as the body of Christ, that if our gospel be hid, it is hid to those that are lost. How selfish would we have to be to have the greatest news that's ever been given to man, eternal life has been given to us freely by God, and then we keep it to ourselves? Now, see, do you see the responsibility that we have there? That God has given us His Word so that we give it to others. The Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is the responsibility that has been given to the church. Now, God has used a donkey to talk. He used a chicken to remind Peter. He used a whale to swallow up Jonah. Hey, he wasn't far from it whenever he called me to preach. Then whenever he used a donkey to talk, it wasn't a far calling there. But listen, God could use anything that He wanted to use. But He gave the calling and the responsibility to us. Why would we neglect that call? It's a privilege to get in on the work of God. God's going to accomplish His purpose one way or another. God's going to do His work one way or another. And newsflash, God doesn't need me and He doesn't need you. But whenever He calls us and we have the privilege to get in on what God's looking to do, there's no greater life than serving Jesus. There's no better fulfillment than serving Jesus. Why would we ever want to miss out on that? And telling people about Jesus. Now listen, at some point in everybody's life, we have to come to this conclusion that I'm finally going to take responsibility, and it's not going to be anybody else's fault. I'm just going to grow up, take responsibility, and not rely on anybody else to do it. That's what some people come to that grips earlier in their life, some people later in their life. But I'd say that all of us in here are adults, and at some point we've probably said that, "I'm just going to start taking on responsibility now." Well, it's the same way in a child of God's life. That we are born as a child, and some people are saved for 20, 30, 40 years and never decide to take this responsibility. But it needs to happen. It needs to happen in our life that we're not going to rely on the preacher to give the gospel. We're not going to rely on the other people to go and give the gospel. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they was like, "Man, I don't think I have the credentials," is what they said. "I don't think I got the credentials to go." We have what we call a 2x2 ministry, and that's where we go door to door and just share the gospel with people at their house. And, we invite them to church, but the main thing is just sharing the gospel with people. And we go all over our county and do that. And somebody said, "I don't think I've got the credentials to do it." And I was like, "Man, have you ever been saved? Did Jesus Christ come into your heart and save you? How did you get saved?" He said, "I confessed with my mouth the Lord Jesus, believed in my heart, God raised Him from the dead, and I was saved." I was like, "There's your credentials right there." And if you've been saved, child of God, listen, it's not our own power that we do anything. God has really had to work on me in this, but 4.5 years ago, I stepped into full-time ministry, and I am, by nature, I'm an introvert. And so I had to kind of make myself go around and introduce myself to all of you. God's really worked on me about that, about being an introvert, because an introvert and ministry, it just kind of, it don't go together very well. So 4.5 years ago, whenever I stepped into full-time ministry, our church would send me to the hospital to go and talk to people and, you know, visit with them. And I'm like, I would literally sit out in the parking lot of the hospital for 15 minutes and talk myself up into going inside just to visit with somebody. So God has had to work on me to do that. But here's been my life verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24 says, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." So what God calls you to, He doesn't just call you to it and then just leave you out there to do it. But God calls you and then He equips you and He does the work through you. It's Him. So I tell people, I believe the reason why God called me to preach is because He knew that I couldn't do it and He would have to do it. So if you're in here saying, "Well, I don't have the credentials or I don't have the ability," you are the perfect person for God to use. You're the exact one that God wants to use. Because none of us bring anything to the table. Whenever it comes to salvation, God doesn't have to use our talents. He doesn't have to do any of that. He just needs a willing vessel, man. And if you will be that willing vessel, God will use you. But at some point we have to say, okay, God has given me the word and it is my responsibility to take it. It's my job. Not anybody else's, but this is personal. This is my job, my responsibility. So there was the responsibility. That word "arise" in verse number 2, it means this. It literally means to get out of your state of rest, to wake up, to stand. To get out of your state of rest and to stand up for God. Arise and go to Nineveh. Arise and share the gospel. Arise and give God's word. Get out of your state of rest. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I'm not a morning person at all. Once I'm up, I'm good to go. I'm good. But getting up out of bed and waking up, man, that's the hardest thing ever. Is anybody else like that? You're not a morning person. Okay, my people. So I have to set probably 5, 6, 7 alarms to make sure I don't oversleep, and I like to hit the snooze, and you know, it takes me a little while to get up, so I gotta set different alarms. And every time that alarm goes off, it's time to wake up, time to wake up. Whenever God calls us to arise, get up out of that state of rest, He's telling us to wake up. And I wonder, throughout history, how many alarm clocks God has sent off to get us to wake up. Remember 9/11 happened? And man, churches were full, people were praying, the country was praying, everything. Man, and then school shootings happen, and churches get shot up, and then COVID happened, and man, just all of these different things, alarm clocks are going off, and Jesus is saying, "Wake up, church, it's time to get up, it's time to get moving, it's time to stand up, because I'm coming back soon, and if you don't tell them, the world is going to die and go to hell, and I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come into repentance, so I need you to wake up now," and He's sending the alarm clocks for us to get up, and we keep hitting snooze, and saying, "I'm comfortable, Jesus. It's my four no more. I want to stay here." And He's saying, "Arise and go." Now, I was in this past January. I've taken a couple trips to Africa, Benin, Africa. And this past January, I was there. And Benin, Africa is the birthplace of voodoo. Some wild stuff. So, like, there's witch doctors, there's animal sacrifices going on, there's demonic spells put on people, there's all these different things. Visible spiritual warfare, pretty much, that's going on. And then we take the light of the gospel in there into this lost and dark world, and man, it's awesome. We're riding on the back of motorcycles, down boats and horses, and taking the gospel places. It's cool. If you've never been, you should go, okay? But Benin, Africa, people are, they are so caught up in idolatry because generation after generation after generation, they've been told that you sacrifice a chicken every morning to give you safety to drive throughout the day. And if you don't like somebody, if the person beside you, if his business is doing better than you, then you'll go to the witch doctor and you'll offer a sacrifice, you'll pay him, and he'll put a spell on that person's business and their business will fall apart. And so people live in constant fear that, man, people's going to put a spell on them, that whenever I get sick, it's because I've got a demonic spell on me. And they live in constant fear, and so they go to the good witch doctor, and they pay him so that he puts good spells on them, and so they have safety. And, man, they're raised in this idolatry. We went to the temple of the Python, and there's all these different pythons in there, and if a python goes into your house, that's considered a blessing, and you pick it up and you take it to the temple of the python to receive your blessing. There's all this different idolatry that is going on there. And then we look, the same thing is happening in America. Idolatry. Boats, cars, money, careers, popularity, fame, all these different things, idols that are in our life, relationships, all these different things. Hey, a church building can be an idol. All these different idols. And generation after generation, we have been ingrained in this and we think that it's just everyday life. And so whenever God comes in with the gospel and he tells us something like, arise and take a stand and share the gospel, it seems to be something radical, something that's against our nature here in America. But man, that's just common Christianity. That's just what the Bible says to do, to be a steward of God's word. This responsibility is on every single believer. But with the responsibility, there is a response. There is a response. God did not make us robots where we just have to follow Him and we have to serve Him. But He gives us a choice. He gives us a choice. And Jonah here, he chose to run from this responsibility. He turned away and he ran to Tarsus. He paid the fare. He went into the boat and he went the complete opposite way to what God was calling him to do. And you know the story. As Jonah was running, they got into a big storm. And man, these people that were professionals, they had their boat. They were tossed to and fro in the sea. They thought that we was going to die. There is no way that they are going to make it out. And then Jonah says, sorry guys, this is my fault. I'm the reason we're here in this storm. I've been running from God. And you would think, they're like, man, yeah, we're throwing you off. We're getting you out of here so that we live. But that's not what Scripture says they did. Verse number 12, he said, take me up and cast me forth, and so shall the sea be calm unto you. But verse number 13, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they cannot. What are you doing? You're about to die, and Jonah's the reason. Throw them off. And they're like, no, I got this. I'm going to keep on rowing. I'm skilled at this. I know what I'm doing. I'm going to keep on rowing. I'm going to keep on fighting this. And the Bible says that they could not. And I wonder if the reason, maybe at this season of your life, my life, you may be going through rejection. You may be going through the storm. You may be, man, you just can't do anything right. You're trying as hard as you know to do to make the relationship work. You're trying as hard as you know to do to make the career path work, to make your decisions work in this season of pain, the season of rejection, this season of not knowing why everything is against you. I wonder if it's because something is in your life, in your boat, that you need to throw out. And God has revealed it time and time again that, hey, I can bring you peace if you'll just get this out of your life. I will bring calm to your storm if you will just throw this sin to the side. And we say, no, man, I got it. I'm going to keep on rowing. I'm going to keep on going. I know what I'm doing. I'm going to try. And you keep on trying. And every time you think you're gaining ground, you seem to back up. You take one step forward and then two steps back. And it's just nothing's going right. And the storms of life are overtaking you. And you are going to die in that, man. You will die in the storms of life if you don't get this sin out. The Bible says this, be sure your sin will find you out. Amen. Be sure. It will come to light. It will. So the sin that we think we have under control and it's hid and it's in the bottom of our boat, God says, look, just cast it out. And I can give you peace. I can give you peace that passes understanding that you can't even explain. I can give you comfort. The Holy Spirit gives comfort if you'll cast it out. But we have stuff in our life that's blocking the blessings of God on our life. And He's saying, just throw it out. Well, this morning, I believe that it's time to stop running and it's time to throw it out. And just say, God, I'm going to go with You. Well, they throw Jonah out. Verse 15, so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. And the sea, it ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. Look at verse number 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, think about Jonah for a second. He was in the storm. Everybody thought that they was going to die. Gets thrown off a boat, and now he's in the belly of a fish. I've never been in the belly of a fish before, but I can imagine. Slimy, it's wet, it stinks. There's not a lot of light in there. So he's down there, nothing. Imagine Jonah on day two, in the very middle of it. Jonah's thinking, man, I messed up. I messed up. I ran from God's calling. God doesn't want anything to do with me anymore. I'm too far gone. I'm too low. I'm at the end. I wish I would have accepted God's calling back then and just followed Him. But now I've gone too far. And God doesn't want anything to do with me now. But the book of Jonah doesn't end with him in the belly of a whale. Look at chapter 2, verse number 1. Then Jonah prayed. You know what verse 2 says? And God heard him. At his lowest point, thinking he was too far gone, Jonah prayed. And Jonah called out to God, and God heard him. At his lowest point, he was beyond rescue. No man could dive down and rescue him. Nobody knew where he was at. And God heard his prayer down at his lowest. And I believe God might have sent me to Arkansas to tell you that you're not too far gone. That nobody is too far down that God can't reach down and save them. That the Bible says this, Romans 5:20 says, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That God has more grace than we ever could have sinned. That maybe we ran from God's calling. That maybe we messed up and we were selfish in our decisions. And we ran from Him for as long as we could. But God is waiting with open arms. And He says, look, just call unto Me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He said, just come unto Me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, just come to Me. You're not too far gone for Jesus to save you. In my church at Heritage, God's blessed us. We've got homeless people that go there. We've got successful business people that go there. There's people that's been in church their whole life, and there's people that's came straight from prison and gotten saved. It's amazing. But I'm here to tell you that whether you've been in church your whole life or whether you've been the worst drug addict in and out of prison, it takes the same blood to save you. And you're not too far gone. You're not too far gone. I've seen the Holy Spirit work in ways, man, you wouldn't even imagine. There was one guy came to our church, and man, invitation came, and he came walking down the aisles. And man, he's a big dude, like 6'3", like big dude. And I'm not. I'm small. I'm 5'8", 5'9", and he knelt down to pray, and he had tattoos on him and stuff, and I knelt down beside him, and my arm was way up here, and I was like, hey man, can I help you pray about anything? And he looked up at me, huge tears down his eyes. And I said, hey, what's your name? He said, my name's Gator. That's a nice name. My name's Gator. And I said, Gator, have you ever been saved? Man, he started crying. He said, no, I haven't. Will God take me? I said, yeah. Let me tell you about Jesus. And we opened up the Bible and walked through Scripture. And Gator got saved that day. He had been in and out of the prison. And my pastor worked for the sheriff's office for 22 years. And by my pastor's testimony, he said, man, there's members of the cartel around here that wouldn't even mess with Gator. Like, he was just a bad dude in and out of prison and stuff. And Gator broke that day. And he realized his need of a Savior. I was in church 9 months before I was even born. And God had to save me because one day I realized that my pride and my self-righteousness meant nothing. That there was no way that I could work my way into heaven. Because the Bible says, for by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. If it was by works, brother, then one day we would get to heaven and I would have to listen to you for all of eternity tell me about how good you was and how you earned your way into heaven. But that's not the case, is it? It's not by works, lest any man should boast. But God gives it to us as a free gift. And if you haven't heard anything that I've said in this whole message, I want you to hear these last couple minutes, okay? Just these last couple minutes. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin is any wrong thing that we do. Sin, we think about lying, killing, stealing, all those different things. Those are sins. The Bible also says if you look at somebody with lust in your heart, you're guilty of adultery. So it's the bad thoughts that we're dwelling on. The Bible also says to him that knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. So the Bible says all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible says, Romans 6:23, for the wages or the payment of sin is death. And that's justice. Because we have sinned, we deserve to die, spend eternity separated from God forever, paying for our sin in a place called hell. And that's just justice. People say, well, why do people go to hell? That doesn't seem right. Well, if a murderer kills somebody, they go to prison for the rest of their life. That's justice. They are paying for the crime that they did. That's what happens with sin. We go to hell because we are paying for our sin. But here's the thing. God loved you so much that He didn't want to spend eternity without you. And so God said, look, I'm going to make a way to where they can spend eternity with me. And so what God did, Jesus came down to earth, and if the payment of sin is death, Jesus said, I'm going to step in and make that payment. I'm going to die that death. Because listen, it should have been me on the cross paying for my sin, and it should have been you on the cross paying for your sin, but Jesus took our place on the cross. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what Scripture says. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But remember whenever I said God didn't make us robots to where we have to love Him, where we have to serve Him. Because love is a choice. He made the choice to love us. He made the choice to die for us. He didn't have to. I think that us in America, sometimes we almost feel entitled, like God is just obligated to save us. God was obligated to come down and die for us. But He didn't have to. He chose to. And He gives you the choice. Will you love Him back? Will you give your life back to Him? And here's how we choose that. Romans 10:9 says that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Now, listen, Lord is a word that we don't use a lot in common language now. But here's what Lord means. It means King. It means Master. It means Ruler. In other words, you give your life to Him and what He says goes now. But can I tell you, He can do far more with your life than you ever could. I promise. We confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and we believe in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. That's what Scripture says. It doesn't talk about baptism to save you. It doesn't say church membership, putting in the offering plate to save you. But here's what a lot of us are doing right now. We're saying, well, I live honest. I try to do right by everybody. I go to work. I take care of my family. I provide for them. I live a good life. And Scripture says that there will be many in that day that will say, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works in Your name? And in Your name we've cast out devils. And in Your name we came to church every time the doors were open. In Your name we fed the homeless and clothed the naked and gave water to the thirsty. In Your name we did all these things. And Jesus said to those people that had wonderful works, depart from me. Ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. Amen. And so I'm here to tell you that it's not any work that we are doing. If you're relying on Jesus plus your works, it's nothing. It amounts to nothing. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except through Him. It has to be Him alone for salvation. That's just what Scripture says. There's no other way. No other way of salvation. And some people, I'm praying that some people would realize that it's not my good works. It's not the title that I hold in church. But I have never truly given my life to Jesus. There's a responsibility, but there is a response whenever the Word of God comes to us. And I wonder what your response would be today. You can choose to reject it, and you may find yourself in the belly of a whale. Or you can accept it, and God will do great things with your life. God will use you for His honor and His glory. But you have to respond to that. And so, you can go ahead and play a song of invitation. And if you don't mind, let's just stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And I'd like for us to take a moment and search our hearts for a second. As a matter of fact, can we pause the music for just a second? I want to ask you this question. Ask you this question as you're searching your heart. On a scale of 1 to 10, if you was to die right now and stand before God, how sure are you that you're going to heaven? A 10 would mean that you're 100% sure. A 1 would mean that you know you're lost and you're not going to heaven. But the Bible says, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And so I don't want you to leave here not knowing. So you have that number in your mind. On a scale of 1 to 10, how sure are you that if you was to die today, you would go to heaven? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we have that number in our heart. Would anybody be honest and say, Bryson, I'm a 1 to 3. I'm pretty sure I'm lost and not going to heaven. Would you just raise your hand? And I'm just going to pray for you. I'm a 1 to 3. I know I'm lost. Thank you. Thank you. Will there be anybody in here that, Bryson, I'm a 4 to 6. It's 50-50. I may be going to heaven. I may not be. Would you just raise your hand? It's 50-50. Kind of in between. You may be going. You may not be. Would you just raise your hand? Is there anybody in here that maybe you're a 7 to 9? You're pretty sure you're going to heaven, but there's a little bit in you that you think you may not be. Would you just raise your hand? Just be honest. Thank you for being honest. Thank you. Pretty sure. Would there be anybody that you can say you're a 10, you're 100% sure you're going to heaven? Would you raise your hand? Thank you. Praise the Lord. I want you to know that, you know, everybody has some doubts sometimes. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you're lost. John the Baptist had doubts. Peter had doubts. That doesn't mean that you're lost. But I do want you to know that if you're anything less than a 10, you don't have to be. Because the Bible says, these things have I written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life. That you may know that you don't have to go through life wondering, being nervous about it. But God gave you the Word of God so that you can know that you're saved. And so today, before I leave, I want to talk to you and go through the Word of God so that you can know that you're saved. Hey, some people raised their hand and said, I know that I'm lost. And it was more than one. I know that I'm lost. Listen, today is your day of salvation. God has done everything He could possibly do for you to be saved. and He wants you to be saved. He's calling you to be saved. And He sent some crazy kid from Georgia to come and tell you that today's the time to be saved. Okay. So I'm going to pray, and as I pray, you can start the music. And as I pray, why don't you come down to these altars? And I'm going to pray with everyone that comes down to the altars. And we can take a Bible and walk through Scripture, and we can get salvation nailed down. Maybe you need to come down to the altar, and maybe you need to repent. There's some sin in your life that God revealed that you need to cast it out of your boat and say, God, this has been holding me back. And Lord, today I'm throwing it out. I'm repenting of it, and I'm going to serve You today. These altars are open. You can come do that. Maybe you need to come and you need to pray for a lost person. You got lost family. You have lost friends. You need to bring them to the altar and pray over them. But I guarantee you this, as you come to pray for lost people, it'll make it easier for lost people in this room to come and to be saved. But listen, don't let anything hold you back from coming to Jesus. I'm going to pray, and as I pray, you just come forward, take that step. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to You. Thank You for Your love, for Your mercy, God. Lord, I thank You that the Holy Spirit has moved through here, just drawing hearts and lives. And God, there's people that have questions about salvation. And Lord, You know questions are okay. Your book has the answers. Lord, I pray that we would find those answers here this morning. God, I pray for the ones that are lost, God. I pray that they would come to You, Lord. Would Your Holy Spirit just tug at their hearts, God? Lord, I don't want anybody to die and go to hell. Don't want anybody dying not knowing Jesus. Lord, I pray for the one that's living a double life, has sin in their life. Lord, I want them to know that there's just a better life. They don't have to go through life carrying the weight of living that double life. But Lord, You said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Help us not to reject You now, but let us be honest with You. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to let that music play for a second. And as the Holy Spirit deals with you, Jesus died for you publicly. Why don't you come to Him publicly? And all I'm going to do, I'm going to turn this microphone off. I'm going to talk with you and I'm going to pray with you. Well, if you love Jesus, say amen. Amen. If Jesus loves you, say amen. Amen. If you couldn't say amen on the first